Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal and all-merciful God, with all the angels and all the saints, we laud your majesty and might. By the resurrection of your Son, show yourself to us and inspire us to follow Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from Acts. Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 30 responsibly. I will exalt you, O Lord, because you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies triumph over me.
O Lord, my God,
I cried out to you. You have restored my health. You brought me up, O Lord, from the dead. You restored my life as I was going down to the grave.
Sing praise
to the Lord, all you faithful. Give thanks in holy remembrance. God's wrath is short. God's favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping spends the night, but joy comes in the morning.
While
I felt secure, I said, "I shall never be disturbed." You, Lord, with all your favor, made me as strong as the mountains. Then you hid your face, and I was filled with fear.
I cried out to you, O Lord. I pleaded with my Lord,
saying, "What profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you or declare your faithfulness?"
Hear, O Lord.
You have turned my wailing into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. A reading from Revelation. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne, and living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with full voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing, "To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After he appeared to his followers in Jerusalem, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered together there were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of the disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach. But the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Children, have you no fish, have you?" They answered, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now, none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This is now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O
this is about the time of year when the question starts being asked on a very regular basis to high school juniors and seniors and to college juniors and seniors. They are inundated with the question, what are you going to do after graduation? What are you going to do with your life? Do you remember being asked that question when you were about 17? And of course, at that age, we all did know the answer. At least I did. When my high school principal pulled me aside and asked me that question, what do you have planned for your future? Of course I knew the answer. I knew where I would go to college, what would be the field of study, where I would live, where when I would get married, probably gave the names of my children, the town that I would retire in. But how do we answer that question when we're not standing on some cusp of life change? How would you answer that question today? Whether you're 17 or 27 or 67 or 96, whatever the age, this is a question for today. What are you doing with your life? What are you going to do with the life that God gave you? Have you had to make some U-turns? Are there U-turns in your future? The good news is that we have a God of second chances. And God doesn't keep a scorecard. And we're not limited to just one chance, one choice in life. You know, St. Paul had a plan for his life. He was going to study with the great rabbi Gamaliel, and he had zeal. He had zeal and zest for truth and righteousness. And Paul was going to wipe out heresy, and he was going to make sure that anyone who was not living the right way, not worshiping the right way, that Paul thought would be proper, he was going to make sure that they knew their error. And then Jesus knocked some sense into Paul and made him take a U-turn. And Paul did. He did a complete U-turn and used that zeal against Jesus for, and it became in that U-turn, zeal for Jesus. Paul made a U-turn. Peter had a plan for his life. He was building up his fishing fleet. He was living the life of a hard-working man with his wife and his mother-in-law in Capernaum. He was worshiping in the synagogue as his ancestors had for generations. Peter's life was going along just fine, thank you very much. And then Jesus showed up. Jesus showed up and invited him to put his skills for fishing to putting his fishing skills for gaining followers for Jesus. Peter did a U-turn when Jesus called him to follow me. Today's scriptures are stories of U-turns, stories about our God of second chances. In the story of Paul, it's easy to see that U-turn. He gets knocked to the ground. He becomes blind with the voice of Jesus saying, change your life. You've got to make a change here. It's a little harder to see that U-turn in the story of in John's gospel, the account of Jesus appearing to the disciples on the shore of Lake Tiberias, this post-resurrection appearance. We're told that Peter and six others of the disciples, I don't know where the rest are, but these seven disciples, we know where Judas is, but the others, it looked like their plans for following Jesus, their plans for being a disciple of this rabbi, Those plans weren't going to take him anywhere now. Jesus had died. Well, been executed, to put it more clearly. There was no future in discipleship. They would have to go back to their previous work. Fishing wasn't really working out that well either tonight. All night they fished, and they caught nothing. How depressing. You know, their whole life plan to follow Jesus and to be in this band of disciples had just been crushed with Jesus' death. And they say, well, we might as well go back to our previous profession. That's all we know. We'll go back to fishing. So they get in the boat and they fish all night and catch nothing. Like, well, this isn't working out. That didn't work out. This didn't work out. They must have been feeling pretty down. And then on early light, a voice from the shore suggests something else. Go to the other side of the boat this time. You'll catch something there. And did they ever? The biggest catch of their lifetime. Here are these professional fishermen. And they caught the biggest catch that they had ever caught. Some commentators say that the number 153, it doesn't ever tell us that they counted them. But, you know, Jesus says, go get some of those fish that you just caught. And it says they caught 153. It'd take a while to count those out. But some commentators say that the number 153 was, in first century Palestine, the, what do you call a fish expert? Ichthyologist? Ichthyologist. The ichthyologists of the first century had identified 153 different species of fish. So when John says they caught 153 fish, that means all the different kinds, a total variety, everything there. Whatever the case, all kinds of fish were hauled in that morning. But not only that, but once they had their catch ashore, Jesus invites them to bring some of what they caught and add it to what was already provided for them. What a wonderful, powerful moment this is, this action of Jesus. Not only does Jesus provide what they need, food at this time, but he invites them to contribute what they have, who they are. As they bring their goods, they bring their very selves to join in that fellowship meal where Jesus is the host. And they are therefore drawn back into a relationship with him. They are given a second chance. This U-turn brings them back to Jesus. And then we have a special little vignette, a story with an emphasis on Peter. And this is even more powerful. Three times Jesus asks Peter to confess his love. And three times Peter does, though by the third time he's a little disheartened, hurt. You have to keep asking. You have to keep asking. Maybe Peter misses the significance of that charcoal fire. But we remember it. We remember that the last time we heard about Peter and a charcoal fire was on the night that Jesus was arrested. And there was a charcoal fire in that courtyard of the high priest. And Peter was sitting there watching from the distance what was happening to Jesus, his friend, his best friend, who was being arrested and questioned. And Peter, by the charcoal fire, three times denies that he even knows the man. And not questioned by authorities, not by people who might arrest Peter because of his association with Jesus, but questioned by a servant girl, by somebody else who was just happened to be standing by the fire. Oh, I recognize that accent. You must be from Galilee. Huh, no, no, I don't know the guy. Never heard of him. Not me. I'm not one of those people. Them. Three times Peter denied Jesus by that charcoal fire. And now John tells us the story of a charcoal fire and Jesus next to Peter saying, "Do you love me?" Three times Peter says yes. And in that commission from Jesus, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, Jesus, one after another, time after time, wipes away that denial. Jesus invites Peter to make a U-turn. And he gives him a new answer now. A new answer to the question, what are you going to do with your life? He says, Peter, feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. This God of second chances, this God who invites U-turns, isn't only good news for Paul and for Peter and for the disciples. This is good news for you and for me as well. In our baptism, we receive an invitation to share in the work and in the ministry of Jesus. We're given the answer to the question, what are you going to do with the life that God gave you? In baptism, we're given the answer to the question, what are you going to do with your life? In our prayer this morning, in our opening prayer of thanksgiving for baptism, we prayed, renew us in your promise so that we may serve the world in all its need. Serve the world in all its need. That's what I'm supposed to do with my life? I don't think this is a surprise, but I fall short of serving the world in all its need. How about you? Ever fall short of that? I don't always give the best witness in word or deed to my faith in the risen Jesus Christ. But the good news, the best news, is that we have a God of second chances. We have a God who invites U-turns. A God who doesn't just forgive us when we fail, but a God who invites us to try again. Make a U-turn. Share what you have. Do this with your life. Care for all the world in its need. And I'm pretty sure that this promise, that this U-turn isn't limited to the churchy part of your life. We're given second chances to bring all that we have and are and connect it to God and to the people of God. All the areas of our life, to connect those to one another. Being a parent and a friend, showing up for work or volunteer, going to vote, making music, making a peanut butter sandwich, getting on an airplane to go on a vacation trip. Everything we do, we're called to look for opportunities in that, to care for the people and the world that God loves so much. We need second chances. We fall short of our goals and our aspirations. We don't always remember what we've promised to do. You can say that again. We don't always remember what we promised to do. Sometimes we fail to follow through. We get lost. We disappoint. We even deny our best friend. We all need to hear this story again. We need to say to John, you can say that again. We need to hear that we have a God of second chances, a God who invites us to make a U-turn, a God who gives us something to do. We need to hear that Jesus doesn't give up on us, ever. Rather, each week we gather here around the word and the meal, and we hear that we are invited yet again to make a U-turn, to receive the encouragement and the nourishment that puts us back on the right track, back into the fellowship of believers who say together, yes. Again today, yes, we do love the Lord. Yes, we do want to feed the sheep. Our commitment to that promise to serve the world in all its need, we're given that help and we're given that encouragement to say, yes, I will. Amen.